The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vora. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vora.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. This last week has seen a just unbelievably ridiculous response to a horrific tragedy. The tragedy could have been averted with better laws, with laws that don't disarm the potential victims. They could have been entirely averted if we had gotten rid of gun-free zone laws, as the Libertarian Party has been trying to do for years now. But instead of trying to get rid of the gun-free zone laws, the Senate tried to expand these no-fly, no-buy lists, basically suspending due process in favor of political games. With me right now is Rick Perkins. He's running for Texas House in District 49. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm here in Austin, Texas. We're very excited. What a historic day for libertarians. Our Lions of Liberty's war nationwide. Tonight on CNN, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, we have the first libertarian town hall with Governor Gary Johnson and Governor Weld. Man, are you not excited? Wow. We're having a huge party.
It is amazing.
We've outgrown the space that we reserve with standing room only. But we're going to talk about guns, and I am ready when you are.
Let's talk about that. I mean, I think that's one of the things that electrified people so much. You have, on one side, you have Trump and Clinton saying that we need to take away more rights. And on the other side, we have Gary Johnson and so many other libertarians who are saying, no, actually, we need to restore the right to defend yourself. What are your views on gun rights and how they can be used to keep us safer?
Well, I'll start with saying, let's repeal the 23,000 gun laws that are on the books now. 23,000 of them. So the cowards attack all the soft targets. Where do they go? The schools and the churches. Gun-free zones do not work. They don't. The best first responder is you. It takes about 12 to 15 minutes to get, and we're always reactive. But, oh, help, help, we're in a crisis. We had somebody in a gun-free zone. We had our own guns given to the rights, as we have in the Second Amendment, given to the people, we wouldn't have these guys walking in. It's kind of suspicious when you see a guy dressed up in a SWAT outfit walking into a school. You might want to go, let's go stop that guy before he comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Big Brother will not ever be better. There's no more need for laws. We've got 23,000 already. We have AR-15s. There's 5 million AR-15 owners in this country. 99.9% use them for sporting, for targeting practice, self-defense. There's only been 12 individuals that use AR-15s. So we're not going to take away the guns from our people. We've already shown a colossal government failure with Virginia Tech, Aurora, Orlando, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Chattanooga. I just talked to a gun rights attorney in Chicago. She told me they had 53 murders in Chicago just this weekend. You know what? They're not fighting over toasters. It's the failed drug war. We've got to repeal and get correct the drug war. It ties together. Drugs tie together with guns. This is proven.
And one of the things that I'm hearing from you, there's a couple things in there, and one is there's this idea that if more people have guns, then more people can defend themselves. Well, what do you say to the people that say, listen, I don't want to carry a gun? How does this type of a situation help them?
Well, you don't want to carry a gun. Japan and South Korea have twice the death rate that we do. and they do it from suicide. They have no guns in their country. Switzerland is the most armed country in the world. All able-bodied men are issued up to 40 years old. They're issued assault rifles. 3% of the deaths in this country come from rifles. Most of them are from blunt objects. The homicide rates are the lowest in our American history. This is the safest period we've ever had in human history. Our homicide rate goes back to 1951. It equals that. We've never been safer. 200 people a year die by deer, 20 by deer wrecks. More, you know, come on. Repealing the gun laws is putting the guns back into the hands of the American people and let them defend themselves. Now, people don't want to have guns. I can understand that. But if you want another Columbine, you want another Orlando, and wouldn't you have wanted someone in there to have a concealed carry? As of August 1st, just to give you an example here locally here in Austin, on August 1st, it will be legal for open carry to go on to college campuses. Oh, you have to be 21, though. You got to be 21 to do it. It's just not going to be some 18-year-old kid with it. But what that does is that puts the guns in the hands of professors and staff on campus to protect their students. One of our rights in the Constitution is to protect your property. That means your body, your property, real property. Let's put the power back in the hands of the people. And there's a thought.
Now, one of the things that it seems that you're saying is that you know, like whether it's professors or teachers, that people who carry guns can actually end up protecting those who themselves choose not to carry guns.
What a thought. We never thought of that. You're a genius. Let's get that into law. Yeah, not everybody. We're not sitting here saying everybody's got to have guns like they do in Switzerland. I'm saying everyone who is concerned and wants to protect their family and has the right in the Constitution, I've got a copy of it in my hand right now. I carry a little pocket pamphlet for it and read it. Say, you know, people, you understand your rights. They're going away day by day. We're losing due process. Not everybody has to have a gun. I'm not advocating that. But we are saying those who want to carry concealed or open carry, we want them to know you're not going to come into this area. You're not going to kill my children. You're not going to kill my neighbor. As the great Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Mm-hmm. Let us give the power back to the people. The greatest first responder is you. Big Brother will not be there for you. That's been proven.
Let's talk about some of these contributing factors. You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, what is your view on some of these reasons? You know, for example, there's a no-fly, no-buy proposal. Now Senator Collins has a slightly modified no-fly, no-buy proposal. Oh, what are your views on those?
Well, I'll tell you, the Orlando guy, let's use the Orlando fellow. He was vetted. They had him under surveillance. They knew what was going on. It wasn't a surprise. I mean, these guys give triggers. You know, they have profiles. They do. Young men, they're not part of groups. It's not gangs coming in. It's some disadvantaged young men, generally young men, who was the child, I'm thinking, in Newtown. His mother gave him all those guns and knew he was mentally unstable, and she let him walk right into school and kill all those Connecticut children. It's terrible. It's just awful.
Now, there's another thing that's interesting that you've alluded to, that it seems that a lot of these things aren't – it's not even they're treating the symptoms. They're treating like one tiny aspect of a tool that a person uses. But you're saying that there's also a lot of underlying issues. What are some of the underlying issues, and how can we – you know, address those underlying issues?
In regards to possession of guns?
In regards to, you refer to, for example, the drug war. What can we do to get rid of these things that are causing the violence in the first place, rather than trying to randomly treat guns as if they're the only cause, as if they're the primary cause?
Well, we've got to decriminalize the drug laws, because we find that they do tie together. And because, again, I'll use Chicago as an example. They're not murdering people in the streets for toasters.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it because drugs, and then we're putting them into these privatized prisons, which I hate. We have this in Texas now, privatized prison. We give them incentive. Keep those beds full. Fill them up with drug offenders. Fill them up. Well, we got to repeal those drug laws. And the war on drugs has failed. I don't think Democrats or Republicans can argue that point. They caused it. and they caused the failure. Your government, your tyrannical government, and I'm talking state, county, local, and federal, has failed you. They're taking your rights. Your rights are being eroded. Honest American citizens who want to protect their family, protect their property. That's the government's job, is to protect your property. And the government has failed you. And I think we have to look at an honest, realistic comparison to say, we failed in the drug war, and we're failing on keeping our citizens safe, and our families and our school children safe, and our churches. Walk into a church and kill people in a church. Mm. Oh, my gosh. Black lives matter. All lives matter.
Let me ask you this before we run out of time. If somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, if somebody wants to see, your campaign is so, there's so much energy, there's so many volunteers, there's so much happening. How can somebody learn more about your campaign or get involved in your campaign?
I have such a sweet district. I got to tell you, I've got 51,000 UT students right in the center of my, sweet spot of my little district. Just a tiny district in Austin, not all of Austin. And I got about 500 students. I go speak to their classes. I go to finance classes, business, government. And I run the national debt behind them, and then I talk about the student debt. I said, we have put the Republicans and the Democrats kicked that can down the road. Wasn't any libertarians doing that? Mm-hmm. Republicans and Democrats ran that debt up. How they can find out more, have them, please send them to my website if I can promote that. It's called RickPerkins4Texas.com. RickPerkins4Texas.com. Sign up, get on my email list, we'll respond, we'll have dialogue. Go on my Facebook page, Texas, Rick Perkins TX Rep 49, Rick Perkins TX REP 49. That's my political web page. Put on comments, put on argument, let's have dialogue. I'm going to start holding Reddits. We'll do Reddits, ask me anything. I'm out there. I'm on Twitter, same thing, Rick Perkins TX Rep 49. I'm accessible. My cell phone number is on every one of them. You call me. Let's get a dialogue going. Let's empower the people. And has it ever been a better time to be a libertarian or what? Did we have fun in Orlando or not? Come on, man.
Absolutely.
And I'll leave you with this. When both parties, the Democrat and the Republicans, are trying to put a third party within their own party, a third party here, we're the first party of the new American revolutions. I want to hear my mighty lions of liberty, libertarians out there roar. CNN tonight, Gary Johnson, don't miss it. Tape it and tell all your friends and put it on YouTube, put it on your Facebook. Let's get it out there. I'm excited. I've never, ever been more excited to be a libertarian in my life.
Absolutely. Rick, thank you so much for being on the show today and for sharing all your insights and some of the great stuff that's going on in your district.
That's great. Thank you so much for the time, Marvin. Thank you. I'd love to come on anytime. You're doing great work. Thank you so much. Let's go, libertarians. It's our time. It is our time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick. Guys, we just finished talking with Rick Perkins. He's running for Texas House, District 49. You can learn more about him at his website. If you want to learn more about what's happening locally in your district, go to lp.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
If you are interested in real estate in America's largest city or anywhere, be sure to listen for Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco. Although our focus is on Manhattan and other real estate markets in and around New York City, we'll have plenty of information that will help you successfully buy, sell, and close a transaction no matter where you are in the world. Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. in New York, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. My next guest is a former prosecutor, a Gulf War veteran, and he is considering a run for the fifth congressional district seat in Oregon. James Walker, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Arvin.
Let me ask you just a couple of questions. First, just getting your perspective as a former prosecutor, where do you come down on some of these issues with gun laws and gun rights? What is the best way to keep us safe?
Well, that's a very good question, Arvin. I think folks have been trying to answer that for a while. We have a long history of the government trying to introduce knee-jerk legislation to horrible acts of violence, such as we have right now. The Gun Control Act of 1963 followed the assassination of President Kennedy. The Gun Control Act of 1968 followed the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And as a prosecutor, I noticed around the early 90s, we were being besieged by gangs. And Congress, again, passed another law trying to stop the problem. The Crime Control Act of 1990 specifically contained the Gun-Free Zone Act, where they said, no guns in certain areas, and specifically school zones. And I think the thing that as a former prosecutor and veteran that bothers me is that they're... This is just simply creating an imaginary bubble of safety around schools, when in fact it's creating a kill zone. I mean, if you look what the dynamics of our world have changed today, it's unfortunate, but really a gun-free zone is nothing more than a soft target for terrorists looking to score points by killing us in our homeland, or a gangbanger looking to control his turf at a school. They're selling drugs. They don't respect and they don't care about our laws. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. They laugh at a government gun-free zone sign. And I saw that as a law enforcement. That's what we dealt with. Only law-abiding citizens respect and care about the law. Mm-hmm. In fact, a gun-free zone should carry a warning. Only terrorists and criminals are armed. And it's really not that hard to change, Arvin. Write a law that upholds both the Second Amendment and solves the problem. A law that essentially says, only law-abiding citizens have a right to carry weapons. And I was listening to your earlier questions to the other gentleman, Rick, about, you know, people carrying guns. Well, if we need that kind of protection, add a provision that allows retired military members with an honorable discharge the right to register and carry their weapons anywhere in the United States. Mm-hmm. The government would be allowed to pay for and conduct psychiatric testing as a condition of the privilege of registering. You don't have to register if you don't want to. But you've got all these folks around there, that around here, this country, that are willing to stand up still and defend this country. And I know I am. I'm a vet. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to stand up and defend my country again. Give these folks a right to give them back their Second Amendment right to carry a weapon to protect themselves. And you've created one of the strongest security forces in America, the armed citizen. These other laws, they're knee-jerk reactions, but they don't work. You want to talk about crime-free zones, but it's Jimmy Christmas. I think Paris is a pretty crime gun-free zone, and that didn't help. It didn't stop the terrorist attacks on London. It didn't stop the Marathon bomber. But you know what? Mm-hmm. The gun stopped the terrorists dead on the street in Texas when they came to interfere with folks' Second Amendment rights and First Amendment rights, more specifically. And so we need to realize that we're fighting crime and terrorism. They're not playing by our rules. And we need to get smart and arm ourselves.
Now, what do you say to people who are going to say the correct solution isn't to arm ordinary citizens, is just to have more police?
Well, that'd be great. But where's the money going to come from? And in fact, you know, I mean, and are the police going to be armed? Over in England, you know, they don't even have armed their police. The police have had an opportunity for 16 years to stop the war, to stop the gang wars, and it hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. People are terrified. They leave their homes in gang areas. I know. I used to work gang areas. In fact, that's all I did was homicide and gang. And I fought terrorists over in the war. So the police aren't going to do the job. They can't. They're undermanned and underfunded.
And you know, and realistically, I mean, to get the kind of response that you can, if you are armed, you can respond in seconds. To make sure that a police can respond to everybody within seconds, you'd have to have a police officer like every 10 feet. I mean, we would, even if we, before we ran out of money, we might just run out of people who can be police officers. It would just, I mean, the manpower alone might be more than what even China could provide.
Arm the veterans. We're trained. My government, trust me, when my early career in the military, I was a B-52 navigator. We had nuclear weapons. I fought the war on. I've been in the Gulf War. We had weapons. We're trained to use weapons, and we understand the love of our country. Arm us. Don't take away our right. Give us our right back.
Let me ask you this: what are some of the? I mean, what are there? Are there indirect things that are contributing to this violence that we can? Are there ways that we can address some of the causes of the violence rather than, you know, one of the tools used for the violence?
Well, I wish I had a rosy outlook for you, but I don't. I think we've broken down. And, you know, if you're asking me to try and figure out why we have, I'd just be adding my two cents as a citizen. But I think the breakdown of the family structures and the lack of the political correctness that's going on and the there's almost an undercurrent that wants to undercut America and what we try to make this country be. And I see the government as our biggest problem right now. It's because it seems to be advocating the problems that we're having. It's not doing anything to change them. And I look at Obama and his policies, and that's just horrible. You're not going to change the problems that cause crime and terrorism overnight. I think the first thing we could do is arm our citizens to protect ourselves. People where I live, we don't have gangs. You know, I did gangs and homicides for 10 years. We don't have gangs here. They know better. In my district, most folks are armed. We have open carry here in Oregon, and it's very simple to get a concealed carry permit. And it's my right, and I'd like to see more people doing it because we don't have those kind of crime problems here or terrorist problems here. They wouldn't dare.
Now, what do you say to people who say that you know, they're fine, you know, they understand that people want to carry guns, but they say that they themselves don't want to have to carry a weapon? How do you respond to those type of folk?
Don't. That simple, don't. There are other people around. Look, the military's been protecting this country forever. When we get out of the military, we're still here. We'll still protect your country.
In a sense, there's a sense that there's this uncertainty that can be put into the mind of a potential attacker. Even if no one in a room is armed, potential attacker doesn't know that unless there's a sign on the door letting everybody know that no one inside is armed.
Well, like I said, here in my district, where I live along the coast of Oregon, folks know better than to do that kind of stuff because they know we're all armed and we won't put up with it.
But before we run out of time, let me ask a couple more questions. One, if we look at this as a purely kind of a personal empowerment kind of safety type issue, what would you say are the first maybe two or three steps in moving in the right direction?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I, as far as personal safety and protection, we've got to lighten up the restrictions on the Second Amendment. But at the same time, listen, I'm completely sympathetic and understand and don't want some lunatic running around with a gun. Nobody does. But we're trying to stop them rather than enable them. You're not going to take guns away from people. If you could ban, Hillary could ban all the guns she wants, but there's still going to be a black market. There's still going to be the ability, I mean, terrorists will bring in guns. You're not going to stop them from bringing in guns you have to make a statement. You have to stand up to them and tell them you're not going to do this in our country. And if you believe you're going to undermine the foundations that we've built in this country by the government stepping in and passing yet another gun control law, that's not going to work. I think the first step to turn this around is give us back our right to defend ourselves and be Americans. Government is becoming the problem, and it needs to get out of the way.
Absolutely, and I think there's so much truth to be said about that.
Well, there is, and that's why I've been attracted to our party, the Libertarian Party. I'm sick of government making things worse. It's not that hard.
And I think that this is one of those areas where we've seen the facts. We've seen that 99% of mass killings happen in gun-free zones.
And well, it's logic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's the only people that are going to be armed in a gun-free zone? The criminals and the terrorists, because mm-hmm. they don't care about the law. It's a law-abiding citizen, he'll leave his gun home. And you've now created a soft target.
And that's exactly, you know, I think you have it exactly right. And, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to turn that around and allow people to defend themselves, making everybody safer. James, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and for sharing your insights with us.
My pleasure, Arvin, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Guys, we just finished talking with James Walker. He's considering a run for the 5th Congressional District in Oregon. And you heard him talk about what needs to be changed. Incremental changes that give us back our rights to defend ourselves. Changes that make us able to be safer, more secure in our homes, protecting both ourselves and our families, or, hell, protecting perfect strangers. Now, here's the fact. It's not going to happen with just one person running for office. We all need to do it. Listen, I'm running for office. James is considering running for office, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to get him to make that final step. We have so many people who are already running for office, but guess what? If we have 1,000 more, that's going to put us in an even better position to make America safer. More libertarians will make America safer, because they will get rid of these ridiculous gun-free zone laws. Now, right now in the Senate, they're debating all kinds of nonsense laws, basically one violation of due process after another. If you can today, call, write, email your senator, let him or her know that you have absolutely no interest in suspending the rights of citizens without any kind of a trial, and let them know that you want to see an end, a complete repeal of these gun-free zone laws. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We just finished talking with James Walker. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling, whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
voiceamerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. I want to talk a little bit about what due process means. It's a phrase that we hear so much, but it's one of those abstract sounding things that sometimes start to sound kind of unimportant. But let me tell you the fact. There is nothing in the world more important than due process. Due process means that you don't go to jail unless you're convicted of a crime. It means you don't get fined unless you're first convicted of a crime. It means that none of your rights are suspended until you're convicted of a crime. Now, it doesn't mean that you can never lose any rights at all. Due process does mean in America that if, for example, you are convicted of theft, then, and you know, you don't work for the government, if you're convicted of theft in a court of law, then you will lose your right to liberty. So it doesn't mean that you can never lose any rights. It just means you have to first be accused of a crime, step one. Step two, you have to go to trial, or you have to plea bargain. And step three, you have to be found guilty. That's the key thing. You don't get your rights suspended until you're found guilty. You don't go to prison until you're found guilty. You don't get fined until you're found guilty. That is the most fundamental part of any kind of a reasonable and civil society. You don't lose your rights unless and until you're found guilty. And that doesn't apply just to your right to liberty. It applies to all of your rights. You don't lose any of your rights until you're found guilty. That's what due process means. Now, in the last week, we've seen the most absurd, most just immoral, most corrupt attack on this idea of due process that I've really ever seen in my entire life. The first was this ridiculous no-fly, no-buy proposal. And that said that if you've been put on a no-fly list by the U.S. government, you haven't gone to trial, you haven't been arrested, you haven't been accused of a crime, you've just been arbitrarily put on this list, that we're now going to double down on this bad policy and say, now you also, not only can you not fly easily, but now you also can't buy a weapon. You can't defend yourself. Now, right now on the no-fly list, you have 8-year-olds. You have people who work for Homeland Security. I mean, just like with everything, I mean, the government, just because it's a no-fly list with no oversight at all doesn't mean the government suddenly decided to become competent. No, they're pretty much just as incompetent as they were before. They're still putting people on this no-fly list, like, you know, with the wrong name, just creating just annoyance and havoc in people's lives. And right now, people who are on the no-fly list, just normal people, they're not terrorists, some of them aren't even adults, I mean, some of them are kids. The process of trying to get off of these no-fly lists is so not transparent, so difficult that a lot of people have just kind of given up. I've been like, yeah, I guess I'll have to deal with these huge nuisances at the airport. You know, there's articles in the New York Times and other places about that. The idea of now taking another right and treating it the same way is the worst possible step that can be made. Now, right now, the good news is those no-fly, no-buy proposals, they were voted down in the Senate. They were so heinous that Americans everywhere, they contacted their senators and they said, do not vote in favor of this. This thing is wrong. It's immoral. Now Senator Collins from Maine has proposed another no-fly, no-buy. I mean, it's basically the same thing. There's one slight difference. Now, instead of just having your rights suspended, you get your rights suspended. And now, then you are now allowed to spend your time and your resources to appeal this. In other words, it's not like they're going to first take you to trial take you to court, arrest you, charge you with something, then have you found guilty, and then suspend your rights. No, they're still going to skip all that. They're still going to suspend your rights with no trial, but now, in their infinite magnanimity, they're going to allow you to spend your time and your resources fighting some difficult government bureaucracy to attempt to get off this no-fly, no-buy list. That is ridiculous. That's, okay, fine. Maybe it's not exactly as bad, but it's pretty damn close. What this is this is just an extension of what we already saw with the Patriot Act, what we're already seeing with NSA mass surveillance. That's all this is. This is taking that same idea to the next level. What does the Patriot Act ignore? It ignores this fundamental right that says you cannot be searched. You cannot have an unreasonable search or a seizure of your property unless there's been a warrant issued for that search by a judge. And the key points are that warrant has to be, one, issued by a judge, not just sort of a blanket assumed the way that we now have with these blanket mass surveillance warrants, thanks to the Patriot Act. The warrant has to be about you. It has to be specific to you. It has to have some reason that your specific house, your specific phone line, whatever, your specific person needs to be searched. But we don't have that right now. That's not being enforced. Right now, if you happen to walk into an airport, that's enough suspicion to give a complete search. If you happen to be the type of person that ever likes to talk on the phone ever, that apparently is enough reason for an automatic warrant to search your private conversations. See, that was the first step, that Patriot Act. And here's the important thing that you need to know about the Patriot Act right now. The most important fact about the Patriot Act: both Clinton and Trump support it, and Gary Johnson opposes it. Gary Johnson has said numerous times that the Patriot Act should just be allowed to expire. Let it sunset. Let it be done. It was meant to be a temporary law. It was a law passed hastily without proper thought. Let it expire. Both Clinton and Trump, what do they say? Let's reauthorize it. Let's extend it. Let's keep on suspending your right to be secured in your person without any kind of a warrantless search or seizure. Interestingly enough, when it comes to things like no-fly, no-buy, and other suspensions of due process, you're going to see the same thing. Trump and Clinton support that. They support suspending your rights without giving you a trial. I mean, hell, even in Soviet Russia, they would give you some kind of a sham trial. What they're trying to do is they're not even giving you that nonsense fake Soviet trial. They're going one step beyond that. They're saying, forget it. We don't need a real trial. We don't even need a fake trial. We're just going to suspend your rights. Both Clinton and Trump support that. Both of them do. And Gary Johnson opposes it. And you can see him saying that he opposes it all over the internet. I'm sure it's going to be discussed in tonight's town hall. And I know he's going to say once again that he opposes that kind of suspension of due process. He says he's going to say that you cannot just lose your rights arbitrarily without a trial, or however he phrases it. And he's made that position very, very clear. Here's some more good news. Gary Johnson is not the only libertarian who opposes no-fly, no-buy. He's not the only libertarian who has pointed out time and time again that disarming people is not going to make them safer. He's not the only libertarian who's pointed out that these gun-free zones aren't really working. He's not the only libertarian. There are literally hundreds of libertarians running for office, many of whom have pledged already, who've signed a pledge that if they're elected, they're going to repeal all these gun laws. They're going to repeal these gun-free zone laws. Many have made public statements to this effect. I mean, if you look at Facebook, they're pledging it all over Facebook. They've signed official pledges. They've signed unofficial pledges. It's clear that the Libertarian Party is the party for you if you want to see an end to these gun restrictions. Now, before we run out of time for this segment, I want to close with a little bit of kind of political inside baseball. And I want to remind everybody to be very skeptical of the people who pretend to fight for a particular set of laws, but always seem to be supporting only one party. Organizations like the Gun Owners of America have endorsed Republicans, and they've endorsed Libertarians, may have endorsed Democrats, I don't know. But what's really interesting to me is the NRA hasn't done the same thing. It's really interesting to me that whether it's somebody who later won the seat that they were running for or was literally running for re-election, the NRA rarely seems, if ever, basically never, endorses Libertarian candidates. It's not an issue of electability because half the time they're people already elected. Certainly not an issue of policy because there is no organization that is more about giving people back the right to defend themselves than the Libertarian Party. So what is it? Well, if you ask my personal independent opinion, I'll tell you exactly what it is. I believe that the NRA has become an organization designed only for the purpose of tricking gun owners into voting Republican. Don't fall for that trap. If you're a gun owner, or you're just a gun non-owner, hell, I don't even own a gun. If you're somebody that believes in the natural right to defend yourself as expressed by the Second Amendment, you don't have to vote for someone who opposes it. If you're in that category, don't vote for Trump. That's just nonsensical. Trump is in favor of no fly, no buy. You need to vote for the people who are actually going to restore gun rights, who are actually going to make America safer, who are actually going to use policies that work. Listen, if you're going to go out in the woods and you know there's going to be a lot of mosquitoes out there, you wear some mosquito repellent. You find some way to repel the mosquitoes or kill the mosquitoes or something. You don't just write mosquito-free zone on your shirt. If you have a computer virus, you don't just put a sign that says virus-free zone on your computer. No, you find something that's going to stop, that's going to attack that virus. It's going to get rid of it. And if you want to be safe, you don't want a sign that says gun-free zone. It's like James Walker said and Rick Austin said, that just means that the only people allowed to have guns in this area are criminals and terrorists. Now, I believe, and I'm sure many of you believe, that that's a ridiculous policy. We need a sign that says law-abiding citizens are armed in here. Some number are armed. Could be everybody, could be half, could be just two people. If you're a terrorist or criminal, you don't know. You don't get to know. You don't get to know what you're facing. You're going to go in there blind. And I promise you, that knowledge right there is going to put a stop to a lot of these mass killing attempts. Because it won't be mass killings anymore. They're just going to be failed attempts. Listen, you know who criminals hate the most in the entire world? They hate police officers more than anyone else. And yet the angriest criminal in the world never tried to do a mass killing at a police station. Why? They know the other side is armed. It's possible that terrorists hate us for our freedom. It's possible that terrorists hate us for some other reason. It's possible that there's personal reasons or psychological reasons or mental illness. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever their reasons are, let's make sure they know that if they try that again, they're going to be facing armed resistance. They're not getting defenseless targets ever again. And if you're ready to make that happen, please go right now to lp.org, get involved in the Libertarian Party in your state, get involved in a campaign in your state. In fact, you might even decide to run for office in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Have you checked out Teen Wealth Radio? It's a show for teens, their parents, and educators. Hosted by Brandy England, along with regular weekly contributors, Teen Wealth Radio will cover the topics that teens need to talk about. Plus, we discuss a book.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. All of this comes down to those who are willing to make the important changes. And I'm going to ask my next guest some of these questions point blank. I'm not going to hold back. My next guest is Nicholas Landholt. He is running for Congress in the 11th District of Texas. That's West Texas. One of the main things that we're seeing right now, while we wait for that connection to happen, one of the main things that we're seeing right now, and this is just something that's happening across the country, is that more and more people are telling us that we need to abdicate our rights and responsibility to the federal government or to the state government. Now, the result of that is never good. It's never good. Whether we're abdicating our right and our responsibility to choose and pay for the education of our children to the government, whether it's us trying to allow the government to determine what we can and should do, what we can and cannot do with our own bodies, whether it's, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever. Whenever we abdicate those responsibilities to the government, here's the problem with that. We are giving the decision-making and the power to basically the least competent people on the planet. See, here's the fact. You in a given area are going to know more about what to do in that area than somebody in an entirely different state or entirely different city. You're always going to know more about what's going to work for you than some bureaucrat who's never been to your neighborhood, never been to the restaurants you go to, never been to the schools that you attend. And this libertarian proposition, I believe, really comes to the central idea that you know best how to run your life. Whether that's choosing what to eat, whether that's choosing what to smoke, whether that's choosing how to defend yourself, you know how to do that better than anybody else. And sometimes it's not even just a question of skill. Sometimes it's just a question of speed. Listen, there are people that the government has access to, sharpshooters and snipers, that may have been more skilled than anybody in that tragic nightclub in Orlando. They have access to people like that. But the fact is, they weren't there at the time. And that if just a few of those people had armed, the killer might have still killed some people. But you know what? Probably not anywhere near as many. Now, I think Nick is back with us. Nick, can you hear me?
Yes, Arvin. Hi.
Now, I wanted to ask you, now, one of the questions that I want to ask you then,
sure,
you know, kind of going on this thing, when it comes to gun laws, when it comes to the gun restrictions and gun regulations, what do you think should be done or what do you think shouldn't be done?
Well, I'm a big advocate of getting back to the primary reason for the Second Amendment, and it's not for the individual right to keep and bear arms. I mean, that's a right we already have. It is the first 13 words of that amendment, which deals with the state militias. I think I've been becoming known within libertarian circles as the militia guy, because I'm a little bit of a broken record on that. But if exactly what you were saying regarding that we know personally and also locally what's best for us, so would the militia members know what's going on in their community.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you this. You know, let's say that we have, you know, a local community, and there's a situation where there's like, you know, as James Walker was mentioning, whether it's like gangs or some other kind of crime. Do you believe that allowing people to defend themselves, to defend their families, either organized or individual, do you think that's going to make people safer?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's proven, but. Unfortunately, libertarians do not have the narrative on the media. The media likes to portray things as, you know, we have to take away the guns from the good guys so that the bad guys won't get them. Well, it's been proven that the bad guys are always going to get guns. And we know that Chicago and Washington, D.C. have the strictest gun control laws in the nation. Yet they're maybe one in two, I don't know, as far as murder rates. So no doubt about it. If people are armed, whether it's concealed or open carry, criminals are going to think twice before pulling some kind of action.
You know, I have to laugh when I hear people talking about getting guns out of there, that if we just somehow get rid of all the guns,
we're going to get... Did we get cut off again?
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. So what I have to laugh at is when people say that if we can just get all the guns out of the hands of everybody, that's going to somehow work. But the fact is, what we have seen is that even in the situation of prisons where drugs are illegal, even in those situations where you take away everybody's civil rights and, you know, put them in cages, you still get drugs in prison. And the proposition that somehow you can keep all of the guns out of a country, even with one of Trump's big, giant, expensive, silly walls, it's just not even close to something that could be accomplished. Nick, are you still with us? All right, well, now... One of the and see, that's what really, you know, while we think about that, I mean, that's really what the key fact is. One of the key facts is it even possible? Forget whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Is it even possible to keep all guns out of the hands of all criminals? And my argument, if you can't keep drugs out of jails, you cannot keep guns out of a country. But to me, the bigger question isn't just is it possible? You know, one of the questions is it even a good idea? I mean, do guns allow people who would normally be threatened to be safer? Nick, are you back with us?
Yes.
You know, there's so many different groups that I've seen coming up. You know, women's groups, gay groups, all these groups of people who are normally at a higher risk for violence, that are saying that above all, they need to be armed the most. Do you think that argument holds water?
Well, sure. Anyone between the ages of, say, 16 to 45 back in the pre-colonial days were members of the militia. So they were going to be armed. They had their arms at home. And, of course, today we're able to keep whatever arms... I mean, there's no limit as to the type of armament that we should have. It's a constitutional right, and anyone, no matter what their flavor of life is, should be advocating to exercise their constitutional right.
I think that's absolutely true. Now, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, wants to learn more about your campaign, what's the way that they can do that?
Well, there's two ways. I have a Facebook page, Landholt for Congress, and that's Landholt. That's Facebook. And then I have a phone number where they can, I like personal communications myself. They can reach me at 432-934-6338. That is a 24/7 number, so they can call that and leave their name, number, and best time to return a call, and I'll get right back to them. Again,
absolutely.
That's 432-934-6338.
Absolutely. Nick, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Appreciate it, Arvin. Godspeed to you.
Guys, we just finished talking with Nick Landholt. He is running for Congress in U.S. in the 11th District for U.S. Congress in Texas. That's the West Texas area. If you want to learn more about campaigns and candidates like Nick, please go to lp.org. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.